It's 10:31. You're tuned to KBOO Portland. Coming up next, it's Chris Andre hosting Earthwatch today. Her guest today is Tyson Slocum, an expert on oil company profits and the windfall profits tax. And I forgot to tell you that the preceding program was brought to you by, in part, by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Food Front Cooperative Grocery, specializing in foods from local and organic producers. Food Front is located at in Northwest Portland at 24th and Northwest Thurman. For more information, the number there is 503-222-5658. And the following program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Awakened Media, presenting The Real Dirt on Farmer John, a film about the true story of maverick farmer John Peterson's hero's journey of life, death, life, love, death, and sweet potatoes. Opens Wednesday, February 1st at Cinema 21. Information at therealdirt.net.
Good morning. It is 10:32. You're listening to KBOO 90.7 in Portland, Oregon. I'm Chris Andre, and my guest this morning is Tyson Slocum of Public Citizens Critical Mass Energy Program. Welcome, Tyson. Are you there?
Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. I took a look at a few things that I found this morning, trolling about on the old internet, and I had a number of questions for you about this announcement that came in today. ExxonMobil's fourth quarter profits climbed to, it's a record for any business. They've passed Walmart. I'm looking here. Bloomberg reported that that their fourth quarter profit rose 27%, and they successfully defended that and convinced lawmakers that there was no need for windfall profits tax, that this was perfectly legit earnings for a company that size. I read on the ExxonMobil website, they said they did feel, I guess, compelled to explain themselves. They say here, for every dollar of sales, the oil and natural gas industry earned 8.2 cents on average during the third quarter 2005. And that compares to a national average of 6.8 cents. I wondered about that. I had questions about three things specifically, the windfall profit tax issue. Also, I wondered if you would talk a little bit about subsidies to oil companies. And also, in the ExxonMobil apologia, they mentioned that there was apparently a lawsuit and that these profits excluded a lawsuit that they had entered upon. Could you first of all talk a little bit, perhaps, about the windfall profit tax and what ExxonMobil was arguing?
Sure. Well, first of all, the fact that ExxonMobil is trying to downplay its profits is very curious. Essentially, what the company is trying to tell the general public is that ExxonMobil is actually a terrible investment for your money. But ExxonMobil does not talk like that when it is communicating with Wall Street and with shareholders. If you actually read the differences between the press release for the general public that ExxonMobil puts out and then the financial reports that it submits to Wall Street, the financial reports to Wall Street use a different measurement of profits. And in fact, ExxonMobil says in its annual report, it says that it believes that using the matrix of return on average capital employed is the only accurate assessment of ExxonMobil's true profitability. And when you measure their profitability that way, they have more than a 24% profit margin, which is, of course, much bigger than the, 8% profit margin that they're trying to tell the general public what ExxonMobil actually earns. So, first of all, the fact is that ExxonMobil, not only are the aggregate number profits, $36 billion in 2005, a record, but the profit margin is also at a record. And that's why a windfall profits tax makes so much financial sense. Basically, the way it would work is it would simply subject profitable oil companies to an additional tax so that some of these profits would be recaptured and returned to Americans in the form of additional investments in alternatives to petroleum. So, for example, proceeds from windfall profits tax could be invested in alternative fuels and other sustainable energy. It could be invested in improving subsidies to mass transit, and it could be used to provide additional weatherization funds for homeowners so that our homes and businesses are more energy efficient, so we don't waste as much heat when we're trying to heat up our homes in the wintertime.
So, essentially, a windfall profit tax in the long run would really be a benefit to Exxon in that it would strengthen the infrastructure of that company's greatest market. So, how could they justify declining to participate in such a program?
Because they're not interested in sharing their record profits with anyone other than their executives and their shareholders. And that's a problem.
It almost seems... I'm sorry, go ahead.
And the fact is that ExxonMobil has been somewhat sheltered from having to deal with these issues because they have they enjoy such a strong relationship with powerful people in the White House and in Congress. The $55 million in campaign contributions by the oil industry to the White House and Congress since 2001 has bought the industry a certain amount of immunity from scrutiny. And that may come to an end with ExxonMobil shattering its own records every quarter.
Well, talk a little bit about if this in fact is, from whatever I've looked at here, apparently true. I've got right in front of me a letter, an opinion page. It's an editorial, actually, in the Anchorage Daily News, ExxonMobil Corporation. This actually comes from about a year ago, but nonetheless, it's, I think, germane. Made financial page headlines this month when it reclaimed. It says that if Exxon were its own country, it would have the world's 30th largest economy. This is last year, so it may have probably, at this point, have moved up. We're almost approaching a point where Exxon is bigger than the United States' economy. It seems that it's obviously the greater weight in the equation, and possibly is almost as though it were running the show. But what I wanted to ask you about really is about the subsidies. If this is if this company is just announced absolutely record profits for any corporation ever, you know, in all of history. Why is it being subsidized? Why is the oil industry still being subsidized?
Because our political system is very susceptible to powerful special interests. And ExxonMobil and all the other big oil companies have armies of lobbyists. And those lobbyists are literally carrying bags of cash that they are delivering to lawmakers to help finance their reelection campaigns. And those campaign contributions and those oil company lobbyists have secured this industry an unprecedented level of subsidies from the taxpayer. For example, the energy bill that President Bush signed into law in August contains $5 billion in new subsidies for the oil and gas industry. For example, there's a brand new $1 billion tax break for oil exploration in the United States. There's a $400 million tax break that goes to owners of oil refineries. There's a new spending program that Tom DeLay got put in there that will spend $1.5 billion in direct cash payments to oil companies to encourage them to drill in the Gulf of Mexico. There are royalty reductions where oil companies like ExxonMobil drilling on public land will not be subject to paying royalties for the privilege of doing so. And the list goes on and on. So clearly the political system is broken here, where corporate special interests are able to hijack our democracy. And I think that these record profits may start to tilt the balance away from the greedy oil companies and more towards the people, just as we saw with Enron their manipulation of California. They took their manipulation a little too far. It ended up, you know, they ended up intentionally shutting down power plants, creating mass blackouts, greatly increasing prices. And so finally the government was forced to overlook the campaign contributions and the political connections, and they had to act eventually, because literally tens of millions of people were in harm's way because of one company's actions. And I think that's what we're beginning to see with ExxonMobil and the other big greedy oil companies.
It's almost as though they are, in fact, behaving as independent nations, since nations more and more seem to be, well, those in the Western world, the developed world, however you want to think of it, since they seem to be behaving more and more like corporations, and corporations seem to be behaving more and more like countries. It's amazing to me. I've got another question here too, actually. What you're basically saying is that people are subsidizing, underwriting these companies in Texas, and also paying for getting gas at the pump and paying the heating bills. So why not just charge more like they do in Europe? I mean, our prices, however much people complain about it, are still incredibly low compared to other countries.
Yes, they are. One concern that we have with substantially increasing energy prices is that it is highly regressive, meaning that increasing energy prices harms middle and lower income people much harder than wealthier people.
But we're paying for it anyway. In the form, we buy the stuff at the pump, we pay the bills. In the form of subsidies, paying for it through taxes.
Well, absolutely. Well, but here's the difference, is that in Europe, prices are high because most of the price is reflected in taxes. Taxes, in turn, are used to subsidize great mass transit systems. Mm-hmm. They are used to subsidize alternative energy. In the United States, the higher prices that we're seeing are directly leading to high profits. And the profits are not being recaptured back into investing in mass transit or into alternative energy. And so that's why we are proposing capturing some of those profits through the enactment of a windfall profits tax. Because unless you do that, consumers in the United States do not have alternatives to paying the high prices. I don't think that it is reasonable to say that, well, Americans need to be subjected to significantly higher prices, and we won't give folks any alternatives to paying those high prices. I would much rather see a huge investment in infrastructure to lay the groundwork for our eventual transition off of fossil fuels.
And what do you think it would take to convince your average American consumer that this is a good idea, and then how would it happen? What would be a likely scenario to actually implement that sort of a plan? I mean, we tried that. I mean, there was an effort made to do something about these extraordinary windfall profits, and that didn't really go anywhere. What would be a better way of approaching this?
Are you talking about in the 1970s?
No, just recently. The idea was floated that a windfall profits tax would be entirely appropriate under the current circumstances. So I'm just wondering what went wrong there that time.
Well, I think that those efforts were in November.
Yes.
And I think that, like I was saying, the political power of the oil industry continues to be very strong.
But that's always going to be the case, isn't it?
Well, I don't think it's always going to be the case.
Uh-huh.
Like I was saying, I think that if these record profits continue to take hold, I think eventually people are going to start revolting to the point of voting against incumbents in Congress, and the political pressure on Congress may start to override the campaign contributions, just like the analogy I told about Enron,
mm-hmm.
where Enron literally was allowed to completely control the West Coast electricity market for 13 months. For 13 months, Enron literally stole billions of dollars from the West Coast, intentionally caused blackouts, and nobody stepped in to do anything until finally, after 13 months, they realized that enough is enough. I think that's what it may take. It may take another crisis situation where the oil companies misjudge the depth of their political support from their bought-off friends in the White House and Congress.
Right. I see what you mean. Oh, you think Enron, actually, Enron, there was nothing there. They were disguising the fact that there really was nothing there. In the case of the oil companies, there's a great deal there, or possibly there isn't. And the analogy with Enron is even more stark than it might at first appear when you factor in peak oil issues and think about that a bit. Could you talk a bit about how peak oil? Do you think that the oil companies are being realistic, and do you think investors are being realistic and continuing to share the corporate glee at these incredible earnings?
Well, I don't think our society is being very realistic. I mean, we've got an administration and a Congress that is basically, through their subsidies that they continue to extend to the industry, believes that we are never going to run out of fossil fuels. It's interesting to me that the president has been running around the country saying, in 40 years, we're going to be faced with a massive financial crisis with Social Security, and we need to act today. Well, I think a more plausible argument can be made that in 40 years, and probably less, we will run out of oil. And if that's not a major financial crisis, I don't know what is. But yet, this administration and this Congress isn't doing a thing to deal with that certainty. In fact, they're doing the opposite. The energy bill that the president just signed cements the United States, entrenches our policy even further on dependence on fossil fuels like petroleum and natural gas. And that's the big mistake here. And again, this is what happens when only one side of the debate has access to power. And in this case, oil companies are the only ones with access. So why are the oil companies satisfied with this approach? Because they've got collectively $1 trillion in capital invested in continuing to extract and profit off of oil. They are not interested in losing any value from that. They plan on squeezing as much profit as they can out of the $1 trillion of investment they've got on the ground. Once that's used up, then they'll be ready to move on to alternatives. And by that time, quite frankly, I think that ExxonMobil and the other oil companies will have bought all of the leading alternative renewable energy companies. That's what ExxonMobil is going to be doing with its money. But they're not going to be exploiting that technology until I think it's too late for our planet.
So we're kind of counting out here. In effect, counting on public outrage on the order of that which meant the Enron debacle being sufficient to push elected representatives to do act on this issue. Is public outrage, do you think, in this case going to be enough given the PR apparatus of the big oil companies? You can't pick up a magazine these days without a picture, you know, ExxonMobil and little daisies poking up out of the pavement, things like that. I'm just wondering, is there anything other than counting on voter outrage to push this a little bit faster? Because it seems that we are not moving fast enough to stem the rising tide at this point. Can you?
Well, I think that's where the job of all the listeners out there comes in. I mean, the only thing that we have is the accountability within our system. Sure, people can take some steps individually, you know, don't drive, or if you have to drive, buy an alternative fuel vehicle. But some of these things involve lots of costs. And for all the listeners out there that are very low income, they can't exactly, they don't exactly have the money to pay the extra thousands of dollars for an alternative fuel car or hybrid vehicle. So, you know, we have limited ability to try to change our own consumption patterns. In the meantime, I think you've got to put pressure on your elected officials, both at the state and the national level, to hold this industry accountable, to start moving the country away from a fossil fuel dependent society and on a renewable, sustainable energy society.
So letter writing and that sort of thing. I think a lot of listeners feel inundated with the issues that should be addressed. This, though, looking at this, the difference between, I'm looking right now, actually, at the ExxonMobil fourth quarter profit reports and in the financial press, and I'm looking at the press release that the company put out for, I guess, I presume, for public consumption, and it looks like two different companies, actually. The discrepancies are just absolutely astonishing. What ExxonMobil has produced for the public to look at is not what they produced at all for the financial press. As you mentioned in the beginning, given the media's collusion, I mean, I know I don't think that an average person is even going to take a second look at the financial press, the actual purport, and look at the numbers. But I think that it's more likely that, for example, our local paper, the Oregonian, is going to use the materials, the media materials provided by ExxonMobil, because it makes it so understandable, and of course it's very sort of user-friendly. What about the media? How is there any chance at all that the media would get behind a clearer representation of what it is that ExxonMobil actually is doing, and some of the implications for people?
Well, hopefully. I mean, the media hasn't always, other than present company, hasn't always been out in front of these issues. I think too often the media does side with corporate interests more often than it does with the interests of the American people. And so far, it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of objective investigation into exactly why these profits are as big as they are. Is this really free markets, or is it collusion? Is it really a rise of Standard Oil again, where we do not really have true competition? We just have gigantic corporations that have huge influence over the United States. I mean, if these companies can so easily influence the most powerful government in the world, the United States, a country like Nigeria and other smaller developing democracies don't stand a chance against these corporations. And so in some respects, these corporations have become more powerful than nations. And, you know, like I said, ExxonMobil has no interest financially in delivering renewable energy technologies to the market anytime soon. They're going to continue their monopoly control over petroleum and natural gas. They're going to squeeze all the value out of their investments in fossil fuels for as long as they can, make as much money as they can, and then start to exploit renewable energy. But until that time comes, I think that we need to start exercising more political control over these gargantuan companies.
I wonder, I don't wish to sound pessimistic, but I personally think that might be awfully difficult, and I notice more and more that corporations behave as though they were nations, and that they are able to drive much of the world debate, and that nations behave more and more like corporations. There's not much room for people in there. However, howsomever, I'm in what you mentioned before about infrastructure, it does occur to me to ask you, wouldn't it be a wise decision on the part of Exxon to invest in infrastructure? Because, I mean, after all, if there's no roads and bridges, then nobody's going to be going anywhere anyway. And if the economy, largely as corporations like this bleed it dry, that people have less and less money to spend on not just the gas for their cars, but for all the other things that the petroleum industry contributes to global markets. It seems rather short-sighted to me.
Well, from ExxonMobil's point of view, somebody else is paying for all of that stuff. Our transportation budgets are funded through the excise tax on gasoline, mm-hmm. which is paid for by consumers. So from ExxonMobil's standpoint, you know, the consumers are the chumps. They're the ones paying for the roads. They're the ones paying for mass transit, because all the public transit money comes out of the tax on gasoline. And so ExxonMobil has no interest. They are very used to getting the free ride, and they want to continue doing that. And I think it's the job of Congress and the states to reverse that. I think the corporations need to pay their fair share, and I think that that is very important.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, of course, and I'm sure that the listeners feel the same way. And the thing to do is to keep talking to elected representatives and talk to neighbors, talk to friends. Don't sit in front of a television and weeping, and don't preach to the choir. Let's go and talk to people that really need to hear that. It would benefit all of us if we all could hear this message loud and clear. I thank you very much for joining us this morning. Tyson Slocum of Public Citizens Critical Mass Energy Program. Thank you so much. This is the kind of thing that we can't hear enough about, and we cannot possibly hear it in enough times. Looking at the report from ExxonMobil chilled me down to the bone this morning. I was just horrified. And when I began to look more closely at the numbers and at the press release from the company, I was truly alarmed. This could not be more timely. So thank you so much for joining us. I'm Chris Andre, and I've been talking with Tyson Slocum of Public Citizens Critical Mass Energy Program. You're listening to KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland, Oregon, your community radio station. Thanks for joining us.
About 11 o'clock, you're tuned to KBOO Portland. Democracy Now! Is coming up next with a whole hour-long interview with Harry Belafonte. This is KBOO Portland.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Radio Cab, serving the metro area since 1946 with service 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Radio Cab offers airport service, wheelchair-accessible vans, and can be reached at 503-227-1212 or on the web at radiocab.net.
From Pacifica, this is Democracy Now!
And no matter what the greatest tyrant...